winning the victory over anger. Let me ask you, what are you so angry about? What are you mad about? Brother Ray, we had Eddie Ray and I had lunch last Wednesday, and I was telling him that I was working on this message, and the more I began to dig, just the more I found, and just couldn't get it done. And he gave me a great quote over a bowl of pasta about anger and the internet. And I can't remember what it is now, and I can't get in touch with him very easily. But it talks about basically that people's anger is fueled from the internet. And it's interesting how people are just, without much discretion or concern, they just write anything and say anything that they normally wouldn't do that face-to-face with folks. But look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Now, I was thinking about this, and it's interesting the conditions that you find in the last days. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, in the last days, here are the characteristics of the people. This is what they'll be. And boy, you can see these characteristics, can't you? Notice some other verses here dealing with the last days. And let me give you four conditions. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, in the last days, it will be perilous times. It'll be dangerous days. We're living in dangerous days. You saw probably on the news, it's on every newscast, this motorcycle gang that came up on this man in a Range Rover SUV. And they got around him, and he had his wife and his child with them. And he pushed his way up. They pursued him and finally put him out and beat him severely, cut him and broke him to pieces in the presence of his child and his mother, or his wife, rather. And it's just dangerous days. I heard just last week a pastor was shot to death while he was preaching. And someone came in the church and shot him and killed him. And I don't worry about that unless I start singing. Then somebody's going to pull a gun out and shoot me probably. So I know what to do and what not to do. But we're living in dangerous times. In James chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witnessed against you. You shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days." You'll find people who are gathering. They're gatherers of the last in these last times, and in the last days, they're hoarding and they're bringing things together. And there's a point that they're looking to get all the gusto, all that they can that they can attain. It's all about the toys that they can have. And they're heaping treasures together in the last days. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." And you think about all the scoffers that we have, all the people who are on the internet and how they want to put down righteousness and godliness and how they want to twist that and say that we're legalists. And can I tell you this? Can I tell you something? There's justification, there's sanctification, and there's glorification. And justification comes immediately when we receive Jesus Christ. Glorification will come when we go to heaven and we see Him as He is, and we'll have a glorified body. But listen to me, sanctification is a process of growing in God's grace, and it deals with the decisions and choices we make in that also, my dear friend. So when they say it's all grace and it's all good, we don't gain sanctification at the same time we get justification. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but those of us who are in this battle, you understand that completely. And so there, in the last days, it's dangerous days, perilous times. In the last days, people are hoarding, they're heaping treasures together. In the last days, there's scoffers. They're going to scoff at truth and at Bible principle. And it's not just, listen, the heathen and the pagans and the wicked have always scoffed. But man, there are those who wear the title of the child of God now who are scoffers about the principles of God's word. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." What an encouragement this is. Well, we look at some of the negative things. It's dangerous times. As we look and we see people who are all about treasure and what they can have, and we look and we see the scoffers who are scoffing at truth and trying to tear down righteousness, the Bible says God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. And I think that that's an encouragement to us in the last days. The power of God will still be poured out, and we can still make a difference in people's eternity and in our community and even our country and the world. Now, look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3. In these perilous times, we gave a list, or we shared a list, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word means without self-control. And don't you see that? People just have lost control. I mean, they flip out over anything. And then he says, fierce. And the word fierce there, it translates basically savage. I hate to use that word in this way, but I'm afraid it's true. They're savage. They're fierce. They're barbaric. They're brute beast, if you would. And in this categorization of characteristics of incontinence, without control, and fierce, we get the understanding of wrath and of anger and of violence. And that's the days that we're living in. Now, let me say this to the child of God. Anger is a dangerous emotion that hurts not only the people who hurl it, but anger is like a boomerang that comes back around and hurts the person who possesses it. And, you know, it always returns to harm the ones who lash out. And we've all have experienced some point in our life the negativity of someone's anger. And perhaps it was righteous indignation and we needed it. But we have seen people for no reason at all. It can be a holly jolly Christmas and you're at the mall and you get a parking space that someone else wanted. And you see the anger that takes place in the name of Christmas, in the name of Christ's birthday. And this creates this anger. There are people who get angry, but there are people who continue in anger. They have an anger issue, and it's very dangerous. And they create a world of hurtful situations. They have a trail of damaged people. And these folks, they feel outraged, and they feel justified, and they sense that if they let their anger go some way, or somehow it lessens the wrong that was done unto them. Are you angry? You see, there are Christians who are carrying a bucket full of anger, and they feel justified in doing so because someone was unjust, someone was unkind. There was some wrong that was done to you. Now, holding on to anger is destructive both to the one who possesses it, to our loved ones, and to those that are around us. And to be spiritually, emotionally, and physically healthy, we have to learn to deal with anger. It's amazing to me. One time, this is a few years ago, but I was at I think it was a Denver's. This is how long ago it was. And I was having a lunch with one of the deacons there, and we were talking about some things. And this woman was just furious, and she came in, and she just lost her temper, and she rammed the car. She's driving a nice Mercedes, and she rammed the car like four or five times, and just lost control. There are people with road rage, and you see the anger. So I want to speak to you about the winning the victory over anger. Are you angry? Do you know if you're angry or not? Do you have anger, and do you justify it? What do you do with your anger? Let me give you four thoughts tonight. Number one, notice the meaning of anger. Anger is a strong feeling of displeasure, hostility, or indignation resulting from a real or imagined threat, insult, frustration, or injustice towards ourselves or towards those who are important to us. So anger is a strong feeling of displeasure. Anger is hostility or indignation that results from either a real incident or an imagined threat. You know, there's some people who are angry who just take something the wrong way. And, man, you're burnt up with somebody, and you're saying things about them, and you're writing things on the Internet about it, you're telling people, and they don't even know you're angry about them. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what they've done to you. And you've got some kind of a imaginary threat, some type of an insult, frustration, or injustice towards yourself or towards someone whom you love or someone who's important to you. Now, the Word of God warns us about the dangers of anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told in verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ sake hath forgiven you. So God tells us to let go of bitterness, to let go of wrath, to let go of malice, to let go of anger. And instead, for us to be kind, for us to be tenderhearted, and for us to be forgiving. By the way, those are the attributes of our God. And we see here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Sometimes we get with people who are just angry people, and all of a sudden we just get angry too. That they rub off on us. We can listen to the wrong music and it can make us, you see, and this is years ago now, but you see these heavy metal bands and some of these rock bands, and they're playing, it's a hard driving boom, boom. And what do they do at the end of the thing? They're so mad they're beating their guitar to pieces, and they're slamming it and smashing it and all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you this? Those things don't grow on trees, and it's not real smart. I don't think it's smart at all. They're just, man, just full of rage and wrath and anger. And understand, the Bible warns us, the Bible says that anger is contagious. And if we get around people who are angry, we set a snare for ourselves, we learn that person's ways. Association with angry people is the method on how the angry spirit is passed from one generation to the next. We might have grown up in an angry home. We better forgive that, we better get over that, or we'll pass that on to our children, and we'll carry that anger into our adulthood and life. You see, the Bible's clear that not all anger is bad. A matter of fact, I wonder today, does anybody have any anger or any passion? Is there a David who says, is there not a cause? Can I tell you this? Little shepherd boy David was hopping mad over this giant out there blaspheming the God of Israel. We read about the wrath of God, and God's wrath waxed hot, the Bible says. So not all anger is bad. There is a place for righteous indignation. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So not all anger is wrong. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God, and anger is legitimate when it is controlled, when it is justifiable, and when it is unselfish. But when we are angry, when it's all about us, listen to me, that's not righteous indignation, is it? You see, we ought to be angry when someone is mistreated, when children are mistreated. It's been all over the news this week, a woman in Medina who starved her child to raise funds, pretending that he had cancer, and to raise funds and received thousands of dollars in funds to try to treat her child for cancer, who had no cancer. She starved him, and she had this facade, this this charade going. Can you imagine a mother doing that? Can't imagine. Let me tell you something. Perilous days we're living in. Dangerous days. And we see here this mother is starving her child, and she's been indicted now, and she's had her children taken from her. But I'll tell you something. I think some little child, I heard a couple years ago, foster parents who took the child, and they disciplined him by making him drink water and drink water and drink water until they literally drowned him. He died from that. Does that not just rot your socks? Does that not, listen, is there not something in you that says, you know, I'd like to have about 5 minutes behind the barn with that guy? Huh? Take a little child like that? Can I tell you this? When I hear that some guy's at home smacking his wife around, as a pastor, I got to go there and reason with him. But I tell you what, I know something. I know some strong medicine. You know, can I tell you this? A man who will strike a woman is a coward. What a coward. And I'll tell you something else. A guy who will strike a woman, you can't melt him down and pour him on a man. He don't want any of it. He doesn't want any of it. What a little coward. And there's an anger in there. Hey, people who mistreat the elderly, doesn't that make you angry? I mean, you go into some place, supposed to be a reputable convalescent home, and you go in there, and they're laying there in squalor and filth, you see these kind of things. I'll tell you, that ought to make our blood boil. I want you to know this. This anger, these kind of things anger God. So when people are mistreated, are things that anger God. Listen, same-sex marriage, that ought to burn you up. They're destroying the picture and the institution of marriage. Understand this, abortion. There's a lot of women that are victims in this as well. But you think about the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children that are murdered every year in this country. And we get all teary-eyed over 9/11 when we butcher these kids every day in our own country. Let me tell you something. That ought to anger you. That ought to anger us. Is there no passion anymore? I mean, do you not feel anything when you see these injustices and this wickedness against the helpless and those who are vulnerable? I mean, good grief. Where's the passion at today? I think we've adopted a lot of the people in the church, you know, live and let live, and they're not bothering me, so I'm not going to bother them. It angers me that someone goes into the public school and begins shooting children around the flagpole praying. And it's angering. So a godly man or a godly woman can express anger, listen, in the right time, in the right way, and in the right and for the right reason. It's called righteous indignation. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, anger, there's five questions to determine if you have anger issues. Let me give them to you. I want you to think about them carefully. Take what I call the anger test. Ask yourself these five questions. Number one, is my anger directed towards a person? You've got to be honest with yourself and be honest with God if you want help. But do you have crosshairs on a specific person? Are you shooting at someone? Oh, you know, you may not be able to confront them at all, which the Bible tells you if you have aught against your brother, go to them alone. But you want to get on the internet and you want to do that stuff. And I want to tell you, it shows the carnal devil you are. I meant that not to hurt you, but to help you. Is my anger directed towards a person? She, he hurt me, insulted me. Can I tell you this? She, he finds out about it, and they don't know what your problem is. You know? Can I tell you this? You may like chocolate milk, and they might like vanilla, and not everybody has to like chocolate milk in this world. And if that's the criteria of your friend, everybody's got to like your flavor and your brand, you're going to be a very lonesome person. You're going to cut off people who are important people in your life who have ministered and be a blessing to you in the past, and you're going to need in the future in your marriage or in your family. or in some way? Is your anger directed? Do you have the crosshairs directed at a person? Number two, second question. Is my anger without a justifiable cause? Are you standing for righteousness? Are you standing on the Word of God? Are you taking a stand for Jesus? Or is it about you? This generation better stop living for itself and start living for the future generation. The great generation, they went to Normandy and Iwo Jima in different places, Germany, for the next generation. And this generation, it's all about me, myself, and I. They got their own Facebook. They got everything. It's everything about them. And you better stop thinking of yourself and give some sacrifice for the next generation. Is my anger without a justifiable cause? Number three. Does my anger seek to harm another person? Well, this is shown. This is shown. I'll say this, I'll text this, I'll email this, or I'll do that. When if you had any spiritual maturity, you could sit down. You know, I could sit down with James Grant and say, you know, I got to tell you something. You did such and such. It's not your temperament to be to do things in malice or to be purposely spiteful, but that was very painful to me. And I want you to know, you know what, we're going to talk about it. Can I tell you something? And I'm just going to just tell you, hey, I'm your preacher and I love you, and you can just take it any way you want to. But men can disagree and go get a meal. Men can disagree strongly. Men can shout at one another and go eat some biscuits and gravy. But you women, you're petty, and you can't do that, and shame on you. You have your little hen party thing cooking. That's a nastiness that comes wrapped in a skirt and sometimes jeans. You know. Does my anger seek to harm another person? Well, they hurt me. Well, you know, God tells us to turn the other cheek. And any time I haven't done that, I have really paid for it and I've had to go back and fix it. You know why I hate certain things about, like, for instance, the possibility of Tuesday night men's basketball. There's a reality of tempers being lost out there. Matter of fact, it's happened a few times. All Jim Wilson can call is technicals, you know, when he gets upset. And we all struggle with it, don't we? You see, you feel like that you're the only one and you need to get right over something, but you're not going to do it because you're not going to humble yourself. You're full of pride and you're arrogant. But I want to say something. We all have to deal with it. And I had one of the best men, I mean, one of the best men I know in this church. I love him, do anything for him. He came and said something to me, man, I had had a difficult day and he kept annoying me with something and I just punched his button and fixed it. And I tell you what, before I was out of the parking lot, I had to call him and say, I got to beg your forgiveness on this. That was not the right way, the right thing. Are you that way? You know, I found out, listen to me, that we're not as good as what we look. Well, people know my heart. No, you don't even know your heart. And what we see is the best part of us. Our heart's desperately wicked. Well, God looks upon the heart. God's looking before my heart. Yeah, and that's the worst part of us. It's incriminating. But when you get sideways with people, can you just stay that way and just listen, when you do that stuff, you drive wedges and you start cliques in the house of God. Man, some years ago. I was driving down the road, and I mean to tell you, I was past anger. Brother, you ever been there? You ever been angry before? See, I tell you my transgressions with a big microphone. I was past anger. I was livid. And my wife was in the car. I had some children in the car. They were older, teen to adult, and I was just upset. I was seething. As a friend of mine used to say, I was frosting at the mouth. That's what he would say. And I finally just said, you know, there's no way I have spirit, the blessings of God on me. I'm not spirit control. And I'm not going another mile till I get right with God. And I pulled our van on the side of the road, or car, whatever we were in. I think it was the van. I pulled on the side of the road. I said, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm not going another mile till I just bow here and I'm just going to get right with God. And I bowed my head and I just started praying, oh, God, forgive me for my angry spirit. Forgive me for what I'm doing here. And the phone rang. It's Kim Condrey, Barrett at the time. She passes by. The phone rings, and I can't get right with God. Hello. You know. And she says, hey, preacher, I see your car's broken down, and I just want to know, y'all okay? Do I need to come back and help you or anything? I said, Kim, I'm just trying to get right with God. But you know what you do? You go through the whole day. You go the whole week. Man, some of you people, you go months. Isn't it funny how people say, madder than an old wet hen? They don't say anything about a rooster. Does my anger seek to harm another person? Is my anger without a justifiable cause? Is my anger directed towards a person? Number four, am I holding tight to my anger? I'm not letting this go. Mm-mm. He can say whatever he wants to say. I don't care what he points out in the Bible. I'm not letting this go. I have a monopoly on this particular situation, and God gives me a buy, and God gives me a pass for me to be angry about this. You're wrong. You're wrong. And by the way, you're wrong. And then number five, have I allowed my anger to develop an unforgiving spirit within me? Now, let me remind you, if we do not forgive, we cannot have forgiveness. Let me remind you, who are we not to forgive who have been forgiven of so much? Let me remind you, the greatest gift you have received is forgiveness, and the greatest gift you'll ever give is forgiveness. Stand with me. This certainly is not the rest of the message, the entire message, and I'll pick up here next week, but I want you to know this. Anger is contagious. Anger is a boomerang. You go ahead and you hurl it, honey, but it's coming back. And you need to fix it. You need to fix it with the person you're angry at, and you need to fix it with the people that you've been unspiritual and unscriptural with in talking about. Don't let anger destroy you. Look at me, and I'm done. God's been so good to us, hadn't he? Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Listen to me. Get rid of your anger. Father, help us. As we look at what anger is, how it's connected to bitterness and wrath and the clamoring and evil speaking. Lord, you tell us clearly to put it away with all malice. But we are to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Help us. Is it the angry spirit, is that what is halting revival at Bethel Baptist Church? Is the angry spirit, is that what's going to rain down judgment and consequences and condemnation on our home eventually? May we deal with it. In thy name. Heads are bowed.